You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
February the 10th, 2020, just a reminder for you as to what you were doing over the weekend, enjoying American life, family, friends, while we had troops in danger, and two of our Green Berets were killed, six wounded. Saturday, American and Afghan troops fired on in a mission. Supposedly it might be similar to an insider attack, it's not exactly clear. But the bottom line is, two more U.S. troops will be coming home in flag-draped coffins. Do not forget, we have men and women in places of threat around the world. Since January the 1st, six U.S. service members have been killed in Afghanistan. That includes the two I just mentioned. And 22 killed in action in Afghanistan last year. And also, don't forget the war on cops. In New York City, a man walks up to two police officers in a van, opens fire on them, an ambush. They don't get a shot off. One of the officers hit, the other one slightly wounded. They're going to be okay. And then police say the same guy then walked into a police headquarters and opened fire again. The last report, they're still looking for him. President Trump's about to unveil a $4.8 trillion budget proposal. The big thing, as far as this goes, he's going to dramatically cut what we give to foreign aid. Good. It's pushing more America first. We'll still help the other countries, but we're going to cut it considerably. Many don't believe it has a chance to pass. The New Hampshire primary is tomorrow, and the effort by many Democrats is to steal it from Bernie. Bernie's got to feel that. He's got to know that they're working behind the scenes against him, trying to take it away in whatever way they could. He barely got out of Iowa with better numbers than he expected because of what they were doing in Iowa. Oh, by the way, there are now reports and more speculation that President Trump is going to pull many more black votes than he did in 2016. He got 8% in 16. Some are saying he might get as many as 30%, or at least north of 20%. James Hurston will be joining us over the next 2 hours. James, of course, is an international business lawyer, also covers a lot of the cultural scenes in Hollywood, giving us the conservative view on the leftists. We'll be talking about the Oscars and the politics that surfaced last night, and his view as an attorney, international business attorney, what can be done about this impeachment about President Trump? Can it be truly nullified? We'll get into that. And hate crimes. Do you know what a hate crime is? If you put a swastika on the side of a synagogue, that's a hate crime. If you put a burning cross in the yard of a black family, it's a hate crime. And I'm going to accept those as hate crimes. But here's the thing. If libs are doing whatever I just listed against whites, is not a hate crime. If they're doing it against members of the GOP, it's not a hate crime. What does the FBI and federal law say about hate crimes? We'll get into that because of what happened over the weekend. And then we also have word that a couple of Democrat congresswomen during President Trump's speech the other night, the State of the Union address, were just so triggered. They were just near tears. They were frightened. I mean absolutely frightened, sitting in the halls of Congress listening to President Trump. What did they do to console each other? I'll share that with you coming up a little bit later. And of course, we all know the video of Nancy Pelosi standing behind the president after the speech is over, ripping the speech apart, ripping it apart. ripping not only his views of what he wants to see and how we're doing in this country, but his praise for a Tuskegee Airman, his praise for a fourth grader who's going to get to have a chance at a new school, and other Americans. And now, some folks have taken that video of Pelosi and interspersed her ripping it apart as he's calling out attention to the Tuskegee Airmen. And then it cuts to her ripping the pages. And then he's going to bring someone else that it rips a page. And the Democrats are furious. Take it down. Take it down. This is fake video of Pelosi. No, it's not fake video. It's recreated with what she did. She did it. I told you we'd use it against you. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer and can save you a lot of unnecessary fear. One client called frantic. A test sample for an indoor swimming pool showed evidence of Legionella bacteria. Well, that meant the entire pool would have to be drained, then washed with acid. But Wellington Environmental found the pool was safe. The test sample was a false positive. In another case, a homeowner said a buyer had just backed out of a closing. The building inspector claimed he had found evidence of mold in a closet. That could be scary. Could certainly cost the deal. Wellington Environmental found it was not mold. It was traces of asphalt from the wheels of a suitcase. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Here's your red meat. So we're on the eve of the New Hampshire primary. This is after the debacle, the chaos of the Iowa caucus. They should rename it Iowa Chaos. It was a mess. And when it was all said and done, when all the delegates that were supposedly truly counted and represented, Pete Buttigieg has a slight lead. He goes out with 13 delegates. Sanders gets 12. Warren gets 8. Biden gets 6. Now, Bernie Sanders has got to believe they're out to get me again. The DNC, they made this totally screwed up mess from the beginning. Remember how late the numbers were coming out? Then the questions were, well, if Biden had been in the lead, would they come out a little faster? And, of course, now there's a lot of calls inside the Democrat Party and a lot from Sanders' group. Tom Perez, the DNC chairman, has got to step down. And his answer is two words, absolutely not. He said yesterday, I made some tough decisions, and I admit I was a mess. It was a mess, but I look at the success of our 2018 midterms and our expectations for November. I'm not going to resign. Bernie Sanders' endorsers, such as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, have all called for Perez to be held accountable for that confusion, stating what's happened in Iowa is complete disgrace. Someone needs to be held responsible. And what they're suggesting is, again, that Bernie is being railroaded again, as he was against Hillary. Remember when he was looking good, and then all of a sudden the DNC money dried up, and They didn't know why, and then those emails came out of the hacked DNC headquarters and showed, well, because Hillary put the hammer down and started beating on them, said, back off, don't give money to him because he's not a viable candidate. And he's facing the same thing now. Former Secretary of State John Kerry, reportedly overheard in a restaurant recently about the real possibility of, quote, Bernie Sanders taking down the Democrat Party down whole. And maybe thinking that he might end up running. He said, if there's a chance that Bernie's going to run and carry the banner, then maybe I need to get in. But later he fired off a tweet denying this. I didn't do that. I got misquoted. I'm not running for president. But what he said, aside from whether or not he'll run for president, when John Kerry said there's a possibility that Bernie Sanders could take down the entire Democrat Party with his attitudes and his communist socialist policies, he's right on target. And even James Carville, political strategist, former top advisor to President Bill Clinton, he's sounding the alarm again today. Today, he's likening Sanders to the left-wing leader of Britain's Labour Party, who was beaten soundly last December. And Carville says, the only thing between the U.S. and the abyss is the Democrat Party. That's it. And he said, I'm not interested in being in a cult if the Democrats choose Bernie. And he also said African-American voters are not interested in socialism and a revolution and, quote, all this foolishness you hear. In other words, he's saying Bernie will destroy our party. So there are two voices inside the Democrat Party telling Bernie, you're bad for the party. Do you think they're going to be giving him any kind of support down the road? Do you think they're going to encourage more money to go into his campaign? So what could happen in New Hampshire? Well, the CNN political analyst, and I'm going to give him credit. I always like to give, if folks did the work, I'm going to give them the credit. It's not my work, but I also do it because there's a thin line between credit and blame. And if he's wrong, he also gets the blame. But Chris Cillizza, or whatever his name is, of CNN, has five most likely New Hampshire scenarios. Number five, Klobuchar surprises for third or close fourth. He thinks that's possible. He said Warren runs a distant third. He sees that's probably going to happen, that she'll be there, but she'll be third. And the third point, that Biden would be badly underwhelming. And in fact, the first thing he had said the other day, Biden, is, I'm probably going to take a hit in New Hampshire, which means he doesn't think he's going to come out of there very well anyway. He did in Iowa, now New Hampshire. He's looking to South Carolina. And if he does not get the support he expects in South Carolina, Biden is officially finished. That's my statement, not this analyst. But back to the analyst. He said, Buttigieg wins. He said, even though the Iowa Democrats bungled that caucus, it's clear that the former mayor emerged from the vote with real momentum. In fact, they have a CNN University of New Hampshire poll released just this last Saturday showing Buttigieg up 21%, or at 21%, up from 15% conducted just last month. And another point to consider, he said, the other scenario is that Bernie wins. And here he points out what I was just been talking about with Hillary Clinton. He says, remember that Sanders crushed Hillary in the 2016 New Hampshire primary by 22 points. He said, while Sanders would likely prefer a wide victory like he won 4 years ago, that seems unlikely, but at this point, a win is a win. And what they're doing now to try to blunt Buttigieg to some extent is claim that he does not really have support of black Americans. He does not have it in his community where he was mayor of South Bend for 8 years. And there's no way he could carry the black vote across the nation. Well, to that extent, Maryland Congressman Anthony Brown, who's working with Buttigieg, argued, no. He's made a lot of progress in that city. That was a decade ago, written off as a dead or dying city. But today it's not only surviving, but thriving. He said black unemployment in that city is down 70%. Black wealth is up 40%. Homelessness is down. And he wants you to know and understand that the black community in South Bend overwhelmingly supports Buttigieg, which he thinks will translate to the national numbers. Now, Congresswoman Maxine Waters, Democrat, has already made her mind up on some of these white candidates. And she's not going by name against any of them except for Donald Trump. But when it comes to these lily-white candidates out of the Democrat Party right now, because there is no, quote, person of color running anymore for the Democrats, she makes this assessment.
Most white candidates live in white communities. They go to white churches. Their children go basically to white schools, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, they all have blemishes on their record about their relationships with black people. And so the way that they change oftentimes is if we are able to organize and to protest and to force them to understand what they are not doing in terms of equality and justice, and force them to have to recognize that and do the right thing.
That's Congresswoman Maxine Waters, basically slamming every white candidate. She primarily wants those remarks aimed at Trump, but right now, what do we have running in the Democrat primary? White candidates. I did find it interesting when she says that they probably live in all white communities, and white community, and Maxine Waters, of course, does not live in the hardest part of her district. Believe me, she lives very fine, very nicely, thank you. But again, the question being, what can these Democrats carry across the nation? If James Carville says you're creating a cult if you elect Bernie Sanders, and I'm going to be part of it, and the nation doesn't want it, if you got John Kerry speculating, although now he wants to deny it, that Sanders would take the whole country down, that's not good. And you got Maxine Waters saying he can't carry the black vote, probably. Why would Sanders still have a chance? Well, Sanders is betting on the young. And he's very big about pointing out about how much money he's raised that comes from numerous sources, to the extent that the money they've raised averages $18 from each contributor. Some gave a lot more than $18, and some probably gave just around that amount or less. But when you count up all of his individual grassroots support, that's a lot. And his fundraising has been phenomenal. And he points at Buttigieg and says Buttigieg is over there courting all the big donor money, the rich money, which makes him compromised by wealthy donors. Well, by the way, Pete Buttigieg had something nice to say about Bernie Sanders. He did. Here's what he said about Bernie Sanders. Buttigieg, talking about Sanders, said he's a person willing to eschew political and personal comfort and convenience because he believes he can make a difference. He said Sanders' courage is evident in the first word he uses to describe himself, socialist. Here is someone who has looked into his own soul and expressed an ideology. He's not afraid to be candid about his political persuasion. He's a powerful force for conciliation. Those are the words about Pete Buttigieg against his candidate of opposition, Bernie Sanders. Oh, no, he didn't make it yesterday. Those statements weren't from Pete yesterday. They weren't from Pete last month or even last year. They were part of an essay that when Buttigieg was a high school senior, he wrote in 2000. At 2000, he said all those great things about Bernie. Now, not so much. That's what happens in politics. And then, of course, what about Joe Biden? He says, I'm not writing off New Hampshire. But he has to admit he's got to lower his expectations. He said, I took a hit in Iowa. I'm probably going to take a hit in New Hampshire. That was a striking moment that he made at the beginning of that last Democrat nomination debate to already acknowledge that I'm probably not going to do well. So if Biden didn't do well in Iowa, which now we know he didn't, he comes away with 6 delegates, 2 less than Elizabeth Warren, and if he doesn't expect to get much out of New Hampshire, South Carolina becomes truly the firewall, as they like to describe it, that will be his support, mostly black votes. Maxine Waters might step up and endorse him. I don't know if she would or not. Dianne Feinstein has previously. But there's one endorsement Biden still doesn't have and is not likely to get. Barack Obama. And in the meantime, the Democrat National Committee overhauling all the debate requirements, and they're opening the door for Michael Bloomberg to come in. He's basically bought his way onto the stage because they say at this point, we don't have to do the grassroots qualifications. These candidates running now have made a good running. We know they're in good stead and they have a viable chance. Well, here comes Bloomberg. He hasn't run in anything. Not for this Democrat primary, but he's bringing the money. And they're making room for him. And yet the Democrats continue to push what they think will be the key to their victory. Sanders, for him, in many parts, it will be climate change. But when you hear him describe climate change, well, we're going to show you exactly where he is way off base. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
1, 2, 3, they're going to run back to me. They always want to come, but they never want to leave.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So before we wrap up this hour, we're going to talk about a hate crime. Clearly a hate crime, but the mainstream media is just not looking at it because the target, Republicans. We'll get to that in just a few moments. And also the event that was frightening a couple of the Democrat congresswomen at the State of the Union address the other night. But first, back to Bernie Sanders, as I was discussing a moment ago, and what he's trying to sell to the American voter. And he's primarily targeting those 29 and under. Those are the votes he's really counting on. Now, if you happen to be close to 35, you might still buy in, and you could be older than that and buy into Bernie. But he knows where he can get the most support, and that is the younger. And he knows he can sell the story to them over and over again, such as climate change, that's a big bell ringer for them. Listen how he talks about climate change, and then I'm going to point out an absolute falsehood. Please stand by.
In terms of climate change, Chris, in terms of climate change, I do propose a lot of money. And you know why? Because the scientists are telling us the future of the planet is at stake. We spend $60 billion dealing with Hurricane Sandy. You see what's happening in Puerto Rico. You see what's happening in Australia right now. What the scientists are telling us is we have an existential crisis. How much do you think it's going to cost when we have more and more extreme weather disturbances? What do you think it's going to cost in food production when we have increased drought? We have got to act to save this planet.
There you go. Got to act to save this planet. And in the midst of that, one of the things he kind of throws in because it's in the top of the news, look at what's happening in Australia. That has nothing to do. You can argue climate change with me back and forth all day long. Yes, the climate changes. But what do we really understand about our world reference climate change? I point out to you numerous times, you can take a yardstick, lay down a yardstick, and put at the very end of the yardstick a mustard seed. And that mustard seed, the space it occupies, would represent Earth since man has arrived on it. And all that before that, we don't know what really happened. We're digging up, we're finding things, but a lot we don't know. But the fact that he would throw in Australia because it's in the headlines is because of all the fires in Australia. They're not due to climate change. They are due to arson. You think he knows that? Or does he know it and figure I can get by with it and just not say it? But giving freebies, giving school, every time, this is something else that applies and appeals to those around the 29 and under age. You start talking about free. Oh, man, I'm there. I'm there. I'm already into buy one, get one free, BOGO deals, but now I want total free. So here comes another Democrat offering something that should be sacred. Should be sacred and go to those who truly have paid a price for it. But now, no, let's give it to everybody. And she's one of Bernie's supporters. I can't wait for him to propose this same idea. We'll discuss that and a hate crime that is not being recognized as a hate crime when we continue.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Do you know what the GI Bill is? Actually, originally labeled the Servicemen's Readjustment Act of 1944, basically providing a range of benefits for returning World War II vets. And of course, then later it actually got full passage as the Forever GI Bill in 2017. But the idea is to help those who have served their country in the military, helping them financially buy homes, helping them financially do college and some other things. So I'm going to quote someone here. Here's the quote. Imagine what it would do for our country and those who live here if we were to take the ethos behind the original GI Bill and apply it to everybody, canceling all student debt, making public colleges, universities, and vocational schools tuition free. That was from Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, Democrat of Minnesota. Take the GI Bill created for those who serve our country and just give it to anyone. Get rid of their college debt, give it to them free, whatever. Well, there's a veteran for Congress in New Mexico who ran for Congress in New Mexico as a libertarian in 2018. And he wrote, I'm a recipient of the GI Bill. It was earned by agreeing to serve my country for 6 years, put my life at risk as an infantryman in Afghanistan. It wasn't something just given to me with nothing expected in return. Don't cheapen our sacrifice with this comparison. Another one writes, my dad was a World War II vet, went to Brown University on the GI Bill, worked as a truck driver on the side to pay for our food and housing while he attended school full-time. GI Bill was intended for those folks. But with this socialist freebie, give everything, college and so forth, let's take the GI Bill and just give it away to anyone, for anything. You know, even to that extent, James Carville, the strategist for Bill Clinton in his election, I quoted him earlier saying, Bernie's going to turn our party into a cult, and I don't want to be part of it. He had also said in another interview, they just keep giving all this stuff away free. He said, what do you tell the parents who have paid for their child to go to college, spent all that money to pay for them, or the student that works him or herself through college paying for it? Do they get all that money back? Do they get any of it back? That question, by the way, was raised directly to Senator Elizabeth Warren recently by a guy who came up at one of her events, said, I just paid for my daughter's fourth year of college. Am I going to get that money back? And she said, well, of course not. You think they get it? No, they don't get it. They're looking at selling points. Brand new, never been touched, never been driven only by a little old lady on Sundays, if ever driven. That's our GI Bill, so we're going to give it to everybody. Right. So here's what happened the other day in Florida. A 27-year-old man drove a van right into a tent. It was at a shopping center. The tent and chairs and tables had been set up. It was a place for folks to register to vote. The Republican Party had set it up to register voters. And six volunteers for President Trump's campaign were among those manning the booth at the time. And out of the blue, as one of them said, a man approached us in a van, waving at us, kind of a friendly demeanor, thought he was going to talk to us, and instead he accelerated, plowed right into our tent, our vehicles, our tables, jumped out, took some pictures with his phone, jumped in the car and drove away. Have you seen mainstream media report on that? Has anybody said that's a hate crime? See, this ticks me off to no end. I still don't see it being called a hate crime even by Florida police at this point. Let me give you a definition of hate crimes, because if this had been a Bernie Sanders event, you know what would happen. If someone in a MAGA hat had driven a van, they would jump right back to the Charlottesville incident. They'd jump right back to that. This could have had the same repercussions. Thank goodness no one was killed, no one seriously injured. The guy does face charges for aggravated assault, a count of criminal mischief, one count of driving with a suspended license. Where the hell is a hate crime charge against him? Now, the hate crimes as defined by the FBI, the highest profile, they say, of the FBI civil rights program due to the devastating impact they have on families and communities. And the FBI in this statement said, we spent time on hundreds of cases each and every year. He said, normally it's acting on a bias against the victim's race, color, religion, or national origin, but also anything that was federally protected activity, and also against those on actual or perceived attacks reference their sexual orientation, gender identity, disability, or gender in itself. Well, now this is politics, Larry. That doesn't fit any of those. But it would be, and they would be shouting hate crime immediately if the situation had been reversed. The FBI definition of a hate crime: a traditional offense, like murder, arson, or vandalism, with an added element of bias. For the purposes of collecting statistics, the FBI has defined a hate crime as, quote, a criminal offense against a person or property motivated in whole or in part by offender's bias against a race, religion, disability, sexual orientation, ethnicity, gender, or gender identity. Again, it doesn't mention politics, does it? But you know who defines hate crimes when they happen? No longer just the federal government. They may or may not file federal hate crime charges. But the mainstream media comes rushing in and shouting immediately. And all the leftists line up in front of the cameras and they go to their tweet machines and their computers and their publications and scream hate crime against the Democrats, a hate crime against Bernie Sanders, a hate crime against, I don't know, who else you want to pick? Ocasio-Cortez. And it would be wrong, and it would be criminal, and I would say it is a hate crime if someone took a van and crashed into a gathering of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez supporters. Where's the mainstream media on this? Where are the cameras? Where's the report? Where's the reporter that stands there and says, behind me, this wrecked tent back here and these chairs turned over and the tables is where people nearly got killed by a man bent on hate, came driving at them because they are Republicans and Trump supporters. I monitor a lot of mainstream media and other sources. I haven't seen it. Have you? I haven't seen it. And in their view, if we don't report it, it hasn't happened. And believe me, that's a real sense inside news businesses and organizations. And I speak of fact and knowledge. For instance, let's take a story such as a house fire. Not even someone heard or anything else at this point. A house fire. Folks within a few blocks of it, they see the fire trucks racing somewhere. Maybe they see the smoke, maybe even smell it. Farther away, they might see smoke. On the other side of the town, they don't see anything. They don't know anything about it. They never heard the sirens. A TV station shows up, gets pictures of the flames burning like crazy, and the firemen there trying to put out the fire. They got it. It's a story. No one's in the house, no one's hurt, but it's a story. Another station gets there, the fire's out, it's just a smoldering mess. Maybe we'll shoot it. We'll shoot the pictures, maybe we'll run it, maybe we'll walk. Another TV station, we could never get by, we didn't get there when it was on fire, so we're not going to go do it now, so they don't mention it at all that night. You live three doors down from the house and you watch that particular station. It's not on the news? Didn't it happen? Not in the view of that news operation because they didn't get to go cover it. Didn't get there in time. That's just a basic decision made in a newsroom, reference a story they get to cover and find themselves on the scene of, or they don't. They just walk right by it. If you're the station that has the flames, oh, you're going to probably use it two or three times. The same thing with this hate crime. Mainstream media, if we had a van crash into Elizabeth Warren supporters trying to register people to vote, mainstream media would be all over it. That the guy was trying to hurt her and her supporters because she's a woman candidate and because she's a Democrat. And he's wearing a Trump hat or got a Trump bumper sticker. But in this case in Florida, they just want to take the attitude, you know what, it didn't really happen. And so far, no hate crime charges have been filed and probably will not be filed, which again, I am absolutely incensed over. This is what we're getting in this country right now. Bias. And you think the president is wrong when he says fake news? You can add biased news to it, fake news, false news, and no news. We'll take a break. When we come back, I'll tell you what a couple of congresswomen did the other night while the president was speaking. They were so frightened.
This
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
While I was in that last segment, I saw this pop up, but I couldn't get to it in time. And here's an example where mainstream media is rushing to the scene of a story that they already envision what it's going to be. It's a report of a shooting at a Walmart in Forest City, Arkansas. Forest City, if you've ever driven on Interstate 40 between Little Rock and Memphis, that's where you find Forest City. They don't know details right now, but CNN bannering, and there's been a shooting at a Walmart in Forest City, Arkansas. Their belief and their thought right now, I will guarantee you, more calls for gun control will be one of the stories coming out. And it might be a MAGA hat guy. Who knows? We don't have any other details at this point, and I hope no one has been hurt. But it's the news coverage, which I'll also be watching, or lack of it, and then the direction of any news coverage that does happen. By the way, in Portland, Oregon, over the weekend, they did have a demonstration that got violent, but it did not get a lot of attention where it would have if it had been on the other side. There was a supposedly KKK white supremacy rally at a downtown park, and it apparently went well. There was no problem, except counter-protesters, including members of Antifa, showed up. Even though police said the original event got scrapped, it wasn't going to happen anyway. So Portland police just kind of let the Antifa crowd do their little thing. But then they started threatening other people and taking metal-tipped umbrellas to jab people, chasing them down the street, throwing rocks, batons at police. Police had to be called in. There were messages written on a war memorial, punch cops, kill cops, defacing war memorials. Yeah, they're still looking for some of them, but again, if it had been the Klan defacing something, mainstream media would have been there. Don't look for a lot of coverage on that Portland, Oregon event. So the other day, as President Trump was delivering the State of the Union last week, Congresswoman Tlaib and Congresswoman Omar were sitting next to each other. And Tlaib said, just in listening to President Trump, it was a huge struggle for me because I don't think people realize it's worse when you're actually there. She's talking about being there inside Congress in person listening to the president. And she said there were moments of triggering. And she turned to Congresswoman Omar, who's sitting there with her at this panel discussion, and said, I kept holding your hand, and we sat next to each other intentionally to support each other. They were so triggered by the remarks of President Trump at the State of the Union, they're holding hands because they're just frightened. And, of course, they ended up walking out. And she said, we ended up leaving, especially with all the applause when that medal went around Rush Limbaugh. All four members of the freshman squad were together, and they left. They walked out. Especially when the crowd was yelling, four more years. They were so triggered. They were frightened. They were holding hands. These are grown women, members of U.S. Congress now, sitting in the halls of Congress, listening to the President of the United States. He's not making any threats of any time up against anyone, not against them in particular either. He's talking about what we're doing in this nation that's good, that's lifting us up, and yet they were of the attitude, I was frightened. And then when he gave a Medal of Honor, Freedom Medal to Rush, that just painful, it's just scary. Just absolutely scary. Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez was not there. I said she was. She wasn't. She said, I went last year. Decided I didn't want to go this time. Didn't want to sit through it. Just did not want to sit through it this time around. But when you have members of the Congress, of course, there's snowflakes in this case, sitting there and feeling that they're under attack because the president is talking about the State of the Union, how much has been improved for the nation, more jobs, the economy booming, black unemployment the lowest in history. What in there is frightening? Well, what in there is frightening is the fact that it's Donald Trump. And in fact, Tlaib had already mentioned that she got triggered because President Trump mentioned getting Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh confirmed in the Senate. And she said, even the mention of Kavanaugh for me is a trigger. What kind of people are these that they faint? I mean, they're like the goats that you can find down in South Missouri. You clap your hands, they faint, they fall over, it frightens them so much. Get these women of that herd of goats and maybe they'll find something in kind. We'll take a break, of course, at the top of the hour. And back on the other side, I want to tell you how Donald Trump has a chance to gain more black votes by considerable margin than he did in 2016. And James Herson will join us from Hollywood about the politics at the Oscars again last night.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.